I have no lapel mic. They tell me it won't work in the video if I don't have it. So. Don't all run at once. John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 7 to the end of verse 18 and verse 25 to the end of verse 30. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's bow our hearts together in prayer as we come to the Word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that by the Holy Ghost we may be helped this evening in the hearing and in the understanding, most of all in the preaching of your Word. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ may be exalted, that he might be lifted up. That, O God, as we see him, our hearts may rejoice. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we looked at the text of verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I want this evening to take the text of verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. A verse that we have all known and heard on many occasions, and yet a verse that is so filled with wonder and grace as to be able to excite us and bless us any time we think about it. And I just want to take those words very simply this evening. I want us to look at the person of whom the verse speaks. And then I want to look at the fact that it gives us concerning that person. Then I want us to see the words for the sheep, the redemption that Jesus Christ has purchased. And then I want us to see the result. It is an amazing thing that the Son of God should walk this scene of time. It is an amazing thing that He should leave the glory of heaven, that He should come down to this earth, and that He should walk amongst His creation. Sinless, spotless, and undefiled, in a world of sinners, a world of men and women who are dead in trespasses and sins. But the purpose of God was not just that He should come. The purpose of God is expressed here in the very simple words, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I said this morning that I had talked with a man on Thursday who didn't want to hear the Word of God and what the Word of God had to say. And he turned to me at one stage in the conversation and he said, let me tell you some lies that Christians tell. He said, they talk about crucifixion as if it is the most hideous, painful death that any man could ever die. Well, he said, I was in the Air Force, and when I left the Air Force, I made it a point of reading the sufferings of prisoners of war under the hands of the Germans and the Japanese. And he said, there are those ways in which men have died where they have suffered not just for a few hours, but where they have been maintained in absolute suffering for a long time before they were allowed to die. He said, yet the Christians tell us, you Christians tell us, that the sufferings of Jesus were the worst sufferings any man has ever suffered. I said to him, well, what sufferings of Jesus are you talking about? And he said, well, he was crucified, wasn't he? And I said, well, are you speaking about the sufferings of his rejection? Are you speaking about the physical sufferings that he suffered at the hand of man? Or do you want to take into consideration the sufferings that he suffered at the hands of God? Oh, he said, now you're getting into theology. And I said, well, it's hard to discuss the death of Christ without getting into theology. But let me tell you what I believe. I said, do you remember the story in the Gospel of Luke about the rich man? And the poor man lay at his gate begging. He said, yes, I know that story. I said, do you remember what it says about the rich man? It says that he died, and in hell he opened up his eyes. And the very first thing he said when he saw Abraham afar off was, Abraham, Send Lazarus that he might dip his fingers in water, that he may cool my tongue. For I am tormented. I am tormented. I said, no, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and darkness covered the whole scene, what did Jesus Christ cry? I said, he cried, I thirst. Was it just the physical thirst of death? Or was Jesus indicating to us that in those hours of darkness under the hands of God, he suffered all that hell could ever be for our sins? See, that's what the Word of God means when it says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I read at the Lord's Supper tonight those words of 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Not made him just to bear sin. Not made him just to walk in the midst of sinners, but he hath made him to be sin for us. How real was his being made sin? How real is my being made righteous? How real is my being made righteous? For he was made to be sin by God, so that in him God could make me the righteousness of Christ. You see, beloved, sometimes we take for granted or we lose the meaning or the depth of meaning of these simple words. The person who's speaking is indeed the I Am, Jehovah God. He is indeed the one who stepped out of heaven itself into a world that he created, that he sustained. This man looked at me on Thursday morning and he said, when Jesus was lying in the manger, was he still God? I said, yes, he was God of very God. Creator and sustainer of all the world. He said, how do you explain that? I said, well, I don't know that I would even begin to try, but the great hymn writer John Wesley put it like this. My God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. I said, I don't understand it all. But I believe it. Because the Bible says it. And Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. I said to you this morning, I told this man, he's either good. No, he's either God. Or he was the greatest liar that ever walked this earth. The greatest deceiver. Of course, at the first time he said, well, he might have been a deceiver. We don't know. And I said, well, did dishonest men tell people to love their enemies? Do deceivers and liars tell people to give away all that they have and to give up this world and look for a world that's to come? That's not the way to see. Deceivers and liars are all for everything they can get here and now. See, Jesus who speaks these words, and it adds to the wonder of it, he is God. He's the Son of God who stepped out of heaven. He's the Son of Man who walked this scene of time. You and I ever imagine the Son of God being called the Lamb of God? That's what it says. John, as he saw him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb was the sacrificial victim. My Bible tells me he was the King of Kings. He was the King of Heaven, the Lord of Glory, the King of Israel. Didn't they put that above his cross, the King of the Jews? Yet I believe, my Bible teaches, that one day they will see him, and on his vesture there is a name written. What is it? King of Kings. And Lord of Lords. This is the one who's speaking in John's Gospel, chapter 10. This is the one who is looking to the future, and he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." What about that statement, "giveth his life"? Willingly. Willingly giveth his life. Look what it says in verse 18. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." Way back in the 60s, just after I got saved and into the 70s, they used to ask the question, "Who killed Jesus? And what did Jesus die of?" And they would have medical articles by great doctors proving the things that they thought Jesus died of. Do you know who killed Jesus? Who ended the life of Jesus? Jesus did. Jesus did. For as he hung on the cross, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he dismissed his spirit. And he willingly entered into death for us. "No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself." Not only was it willingly, but it was sacrificially. I don't know that even through eternity we'll be able to understand the words of Paul in Philippians 2, "even the death of the cross." Do you know why they nailed them to a cross and lifted them in the air? It was because they deemed them not worthy to die upon the earth. And they lifted the Son of God on a cross. The Creator and the Sustainer of all things. They lifted him from the earth because in their estimation, he was not worthy to die upon the earth. And yet their very prophet, their own prophet says, "Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." Isn't it amazing how differently God sees the cross to how man sees the cross? Isn't it amazing how God looks down and he says he's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world? That what he came to do was completed and guaranteed in victory before it ever took place. You know, there's an amazing statement here from the lips of Jesus. But not only did he die willingly, and not only did he die sacrificially, he died purposefully. This was not the death of a martyr. This was not things getting out of control and man doing something that God didn't expect. Why did Jesus die? Why did he enter into death willingly? Look what it says in verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm laying down my life. I'm entering into death that I might rise again victorious over death. I lay down my life that I might take it, literally take it up again. The writer to the Hebrews says that he might taste death for every man. And that by death should destroy him that had the power of death, even the devil. Jesus says, this is why I'm going down into death, because it's the only way that death could ever be defeated. Death is a horrible enemy. But I want to tell you, it is nothing to what it would be if Jesus had never defeated it. It would be an enemy that you and I could never have victory over. You know, we stand at the grave and we say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is the law. The strength of death is sin. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want to speak to you for a moment about a twofold aspect of the death of Christ. The one, the accomplishment of redemption. And the other, the application of redemption. The accomplishment of redemption is to speak of the price that was paid. And the price that was paid was sufficient to redeem not just the world, but a million worlds. No greater price could ever have been paid. Why? Because of the quality of the sacrifice and because of the virtue of the blood that he shed. Had there been a million worlds that was lost in sin, the blood of Jesus Christ would have been sufficient to redeem them all. That's the accomplishment of redemption. But what about the application of redemption? Well, Jesus says it here. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. Listen, for the sheep. You remember what I said to you this morning about the designation of the sheep? That Jesus looked upon the world as sheep who had gone astray, but that he made a designation between these sheep and my sheep, those that were purchased to be his. Look what it says over in verse 29. My Father which give them me. I didn't give myself to Christ. I was given to Christ. The Father. And if you read John's Gospel carefully, you'll find this statement is made time and time and time again. Them which Thou hast given me. All that the Father giveth me. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that He died to redeem the sheep. You go back to Matthew 21. Matthew 1, 21, and you'll find that when the announcement of His death is being made, it says, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. You go back to the prophet Isaiah, and he said, The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquities of us all. Who was he speaking of? Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus is speaking. He says, The Son of Man giveth His life a ransom for many. I believe there is a sense in which the death of Christ is applicable to the world. But nowhere in the New Testament will you ever hear the word redemption or find the word redemption applied to the world. Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. The application of redemption is the work of God the Holy Spirit in bringing men and women to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what of the result of this giving His life for the sheep? Well, He says, I not only give my life for the sheep, I give my sheep life. We looked at it earlier this morning in John's Gospel, chapter 10. But look what He says in verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now let me tell you, I don't believe in the eternal security of everyone who makes a profession of faith. But I believe in the eternal security of every born-again, blood-bought child of God. Any man, any woman who comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I give them eternal life. And He goes one step further. He says, they shall never perish. And He goes one step further than that again, and He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then He goes one step further than that again. And He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. What does He give them? He gives them eternal life. He gives them eternal security. He gives them an eternal shelter. They're sheltered in the hands of Christ. And just in case that's not strong enough, he says, my Father has them in his hands as well as I have them in mine. I was told a story once and read it again later, but an old lady who had the preacher come to visit her when she moved into a new area. And it became very evident that the lady believed in eternal security and that the preacher believed that you could be saved today and lost tomorrow. And as he's speaking to this dear old saint of God, he says, but what happens if he lets you slip through his fingers? The story is told that she looked at the preacher and she said, I am as secure as if I was one of his fingers. I will never be lost. You see, that's the result of Jesus being able to say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's because we're able to say that he did it willingly. No man took his life from him. He laid it down, and he laid it down that he might take it again in the glory of resurrection. He laid it down that he might give to his sheep eternal life, that they might never perish. We're living in a world where the message of the Bible has become confused. The man that I talked to, I told you, I turned him to the Epistle of John and told him where the Word of God says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. I told you about the young woman who called me last night. The happenings of this week have thrown her heart and soul into turmoil, taken her eyes of the Savior. I told her, I can't guarantee that nothing's going to happen to you. But I can guarantee the work of Christ will not fail. I can guarantee that Jesus Christ will take all of his own to glory. I listened to the speech by Billy Graham this afternoon, or part of it, where he said that many of those who died would go to heaven, would be in heaven, and would not want to come back. I don't know that I would say many, but I have absolutely no doubt that there were those who died in Christ. And for them, it was absent from the body and present with the Lord. For them, it was the laying their burdens down here, being called into the presence of the Son of God. But for many, they went out into eternity and they were not ready. John Thompson, the basketball coach, was interviewed on the radio yesterday. I've never heard a man so broken and so shaken. He said, I had a seat booked on a plane to fly out Tuesday morning. Something happened and I called the people in California and I told them, listen, I'm going to leave it until tomorrow to fly out. He said it was an awful, airy feeling to know that there was an empty seat in that plane that he could have been sitting in. There are many horror stories, but there's only one good news. The Good Shepherd
Jehovah, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep. And he gives his sheep eternal life. And they shall never perish. No man will ever pluck them out of his hands. Jesus said that one day he'll stand before the Father and he'll say, Father, of them that thou hast given me, I have lost none, save the son of perdition. I have lost none. What a Savior we have. What a security we have. What a salvation we've been brought into an enjoyment of. And Brother Herb said this morning, and how true it is, we will have more opportunities in the days that lie ahead to speak a word for Christ than we've had for a long time. For the world that banned God from its schools, or the nation that banned God from its schools, banned God's name from their lips, suddenly realizes that there is a God. And as individuals and as a nation, we need Him. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee that when we look for victory, we look not to the armies of this world or the kings and princes of this world, but we look to an old rugged cross where Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid down His life for the sheep. Thank You, Father, that there are those in this meeting tonight who can say that we are Your people and the sheep of Your pasture. You have given us eternal life and we shall never perish. Pray, Father, if there are any who do not know this, that even today they might close in with Your offer of mercy. They might come to Christ. In Jesus' name, Amen.